Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right. Well, have you ever had your brilliant romantic plan just not work out the way you had in mind? Has that ever happened? As I was preparing this message today, I asked my wife, I said, honey, I need something, okay? Right in the beginning, we do this video thing, and I want to help me remember a brilliant romantic plan that didn't work out the way I had in mind. And she went, honey, I just can't think of any. Which is a brilliant romantic plan, isn't it? Because her forgetting was really good. Well, we're in this series called The Two Shall Become One. And we're going to be looking at God's plan for marriage and what He has in mind. And next week we're going to look at the vow of pursuit. And I'm going to bring a stool. You'll find out what a stool has to do with it. But today we're going to look at the vow of priority. And by the way, I do have this is available on YouVersion if you're a smartphone person. And then also, while I'm thinking of it, next Saturday is Code Orange. So 9 o'clock, second Saturday, we give away something somewhere. So we're going to be in the parks here, and we're going to give away something that's not an iPad. And anyway, I want to encourage you, if you want to join us at 9 o'clock on Saturday, and we'll do a Code Orange. Today we're starting off this series, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 19. We're looking at marriage and the gospel, and we're really focusing in on Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 19. If you want to join me, I'm going to start at verse 3. And I'm going to first read verse 3. I'm just going to pause and we'll get there. So Matthew 19, starting at verse 3, it says, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? I'm going to pause right there. And some people say, well, Jesus never got involved in politics. Well, actually, he did. This was one of the huge political debates of his time. In fact, there's about 3.5 that he does in the New Testament where he comments on them. And by the way, every instance, someone comes to him and pulls him into it. But he does respond. This was one of them. The Pharisees, this guy right here, they believed that, no, only adultery. That's the only reason you can get a divorce. And by the way, divorce was so much more cruel then because there was only two professions for women, prostitute, wife. And so by divorcing, a lot of times it was a really ugly situation. But Jesus answers this. The second position was kind of a no-fault divorce idea that for any reason and every reason. And so this was the big political issue of their day. And people got all upset just like they do today. And Jesus comments. Now, I have to admit something here, my own little bias. And that is, most of the time when I read the words of Jesus, I see his kindness. I see his brilliance, I see his depth, and I do here today too. But every now and again, and I know it's my personality, snarky Jesus comes up. And I think I'm not sure, but I have a suspicion, and I'm probably wrong because it's my bias. I got a feeling this was maybe a touch of a snarky answer. My bias, fully admitted, full disclosure here. But listen to this. You can almost see, at least in my mind, you guys probably never saw this before because it's my bias. You can almost see his eyes rolling. Haven't you read, he replied, that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And you can almost hear a pause, and they're going, yeah? And, oh, all right. And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, this verse has so much for us. This is just a few short verses. And notice the connection here. The connection here isn't so much marriage, as much as we're going to talk about that. But it's even more so how to divorce-proof your marriage, because that's the context. Should you get divorced? Here is the reason. And we're going to spend time in this verse over the next coming weeks. But today we're going to focus in on one word. By the way, Jesus is quoting two scriptures, one from they're created male and female, one from Genesis 1:27, and then the second one, which is our main one we're zooming in on today, is from Genesis 2:24. And it says actually the same thing. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, that they'll become one flesh." So here we are, and today we're going to zoom in on kind of a crazy word. You wouldn't think that this would make a huge difference in two becoming one, but it does. We're going to focus in on the word leave. What does that mean? Now, the New Testament written in Greek and the Old Testament written in Hebrew means we have two other language words here that are translated into leave. In Greek, it's katalepo. And katalepo and in can mean to leave behind or neglect. Suddenly, this verse is getting interesting. And in Hebrew, it's azav, which means to leave, loose, or release. And so here in this very beginning, we're seeing something really important. You see, before you're married, the most important human relationship you have is with your parents. We never think that as kids, but when we look back, we realize, yeah, that's really it. Our parents are our most significant human relationship before we get married. When we get married, we leave, we release, we neglect that relationship. We still honor our parents, we still love our parents, but we neglect that relationship. And now this one, our marriage, takes priority. It's the vow of priority. It's right here. See, next to Christ, your spouse is your priority. And if we can live that, the two become one. That next to Christ, you are my priority. It changes everything. It affects how we live. Now, we need to build very good marriages. And what I mean by this is this. During the creation story, we went back to Genesis. So if we were to go through the Genesis story of creation, we would see the days of creation and so forth. And after every day, God looked back, and you can kind of look at this again if you'd want, is God looked back at the end of every day, and he said, "It's good. I created planets and stars, and it was good. I created animals and plants. It was good." After every day, he said, "It's good," until the last day. He said, "It's not good." Before there was any sin, he said, "It's not good." And what's not good? For Adam to be alone. No sin is in the world yet, but it's still not good. Now, by the way, since sin has come in the world, we can see this idea of when man is left alone, it's not good. Here, look at this. Picture. Yeah. It looked so smart at the time. It was just cool. I like the haze. You know, you got haze. Here's another one. This is like my very favorite picture. Now, it might be hard to tell, but this is a stroke of brilliance, because how can you have bacon and swim at the same time? You get an electric griddle, and, well, you got to plug that thing in, so why not get two flippers and put the electric outlet on that? What happens when you leave man alone? See, now, even before sin, though, God looked at this and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman. And for the first time, he said, "It's very good." And by the way, he didn't say that at the woman. He said that at the marriage. The marriage is the first time God said, "It is very good." And so marriage, by God's design, is supposed to be very good. So how do we do this again in our own life? How do we make it very good? Well, the two shall become one. two shall become one. This is God's plan from the very beginning. Two shall become one. Now, I think this is, the first one is true of everybody, but especially men. There are two reasons in Scripture that we're to give up our lives, that we're to be willing to sacrifice our lives. It's not career, it's not money, it's not a war with another country, even though that's an honorable thing to do. There are two reasons that we're to give up our lives. The first one is that we're to be willing to give up our lives for Christ, because He died for us. Matthew 16, 25 and 26, it says, Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? By the way, look at that verse. That's not the easy way out kind of verse. Because the easy way out is that I'm willing to die if the situation comes up. But this verse is saying, lose your life and you will gain it. And so when we sacrifice self, we gain our relationship with God. So it's a living death. It's a living sacrifice. The second one, husbands, is for our wives. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And similarly, it's not the kind of easy way out, you know, if the bear ever shows up and they're I'm gonna attack the bear. It's not just if the situation ever arises, but again, it's a living sacrifice. It is a living embodiment of the vow of priority. Next to Christ, you are my priority. The two become one. So what's wrong? We look around, we know, we see, what is going on here with marriage, especially seeming lately? What happened? You know, it starts out with, he can do no wrong. And suddenly all the songs on the radio suddenly make sense. I suddenly like Hallmark cards because I read them and it works. I understand. And then you get to the, and then all of a sudden, we don't connect, and he or she doesn't meet my needs. And what happens? Well, there's a general progression of relationship. First, kind of like your video there, it started out, you kind of thought, because it happens all the time, he sees her and goes, wow. Pitches, whatever, you know, anything else doesn't matter at that point. Wow. And then he buys her things, and suddenly you're each other's priority. When the other is needed, the other is there in a jiffy. Boom. He proposes. She smiles and then cries and then says yes. And then kids come and career come and stuff comes and priorities shift. And then all of a sudden we wonder, well, what happened? Where did what we had go? Well, it went with the priorities. The two shall be made one. The things that most often, I think, destroy many marriages are good things, not bad things. They're good things. They're not bad things. Good things. My wife and I go on a walk fairly frequently, and we take a walk through the neighborhood and so forth. And this was last night. Last night, we're walking, and I had been by it the third time. There was a huge weed in some neighbor's yard down the way. It was gigantic. They had a nice, beautiful barrel cactus, little, and the weed was way up over top of it. And I just said, "Honey, I gotta take care of this. I can't live with this anymore. I've been by it three times. First time it was like, wow, and the second time it was really, and the third time I gotta stop." And so I stopped and I pulled the weeds separate from the cactus, and then I got my hand down as low as I could and I pulled, and it broke off at the root. And we know what's gonna happen, right? I'm gonna be pulling that weed again in a couple of months, aren't I? It's gonna happen again. I'm gonna be going by there again, and there it is. I'm gonna try it the second time. You see, a lot of times, as I said, it's not the bad things, it's the good things. that happened. A lot of times we look and we go, well, yeah, he had an affair, or he's a complete jerk, or she's got the spiritual gift of spending money and nagging, you know, or whatever. But really, that's not the problem. That's the symptom. The root is the vow of priority. And so when we come back to this and we look at what are good things that can get in way of the best things. See, good things can be the enemy of the best things. One of the goodest good things is children. I love being a dad. And you know, it's a great thing to pour our lives into our kids. But if we neglect our priority relationship next to Christ, you are my priority. If we neglect our priority relationship, we won't have the strength or foundation to pour into them. The Bible says the children are a blessing from the Lord. But if they eclipse a priority for each other, we're not near as good for them. The best gift you can give your kids is a stable and loving marriage. A child-centered marriage will work until they get a driver's license, right? That day, you're not going to see them again for a long time, right? And then you're going to look across and say, who are you? Because it's been a child-centered marriage. It's a good thing. Just gotten away the best thing. Another good thing is career, and career can be a really good thing. But if it gets in the way of the best thing, you lose what matters most. Same with house or friends or hobby or just simply vegging in front of the TV. If vegging in front of the TV is a good thing, but it can take over the best thing. So, what are your distractions? Just think about that for a while. Make a list. What are your distractions from your priority? Next to Christ, you are my priority, spouse. So, what are your distractions? We all have them. Be honest. Take a look at it. Don't list theirs. Remember our brilliant romantic plans? Don't list theirs. List yours. What are my distractions from my priorities? And they can be really good things. And then make a plan. Think about it. Work through it. So, next to Christ, you are my priority. Good things, not always bad things, get in the way of that. And then third here, we need to practice our priority. See, we got to put in practice what we're talking about. When we look in the Scripture, when we pray, when we believe, we have to put into practice what we're doing. So how do we practice this priority? Matthew 7, verses 26 and 27 says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine," Jesus speaking, "and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." You know, one of the great things about that verse, I mean, it's a really poignant illustration of reality. And reality is, here's just a great truth of life, is that our practice, not our belief, determines our results. Our practice, not our belief, determines our results. And every time, you know, we have some great beliefs, but if they're not in practice, that's not gonna affect our results. Our practice, not our belief, determines our results. Put it another way, your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. In other words, if I'm going to Flagstaff and I'm heading, that's where I'm going. I'm intending to go to Flagstaff, but then I hang a left on I-10. Doesn't matter how much I'm planning on going to Flagstaff, I'm going to Tucson, right? Because your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. And so we have to practice this priority, because we can have all the best intentions in the world, all the most wonderful beliefs that we could possibly have. But until we practice it, it's not going to be our destination. So a few years ago, we were taking a family picture, and kids and so forth, and Michelle was become a little bit of a photographer, and she really enjoys that. And she has a camera with a remote on it, and she sets up the shot, and then she sets everybody up, and then you know, she comes on. She has this remote control, and she hits the remote, The only problem with this, which really isn't a problem, I know every photographer does this nowadays, is that you need about 250 pictures to get one good one, right? Right? And so, you know, I know that's just the reality of a photographers nowadays. You got digital, you can delete all sorts of stuff, right? So you want to get that great one, so you're going to take a ton of pictures. And so we're out for the day, our family. This is a few years ago, and we're taking pictures and so forth, And I can be focused, but you know, I get lost sometimes, especially in that. So we're setting up this shot, and she's got it set up, and she's come around, and you know, I just thought, I'm gonna steal a kiss, and so I kissed my wonderful wife, and I thought we're having a moment here. Now, unbeknownst to me, my wonderful wife with the remote is thinking, we're having a moment here. Click. Click. She's taking pictures of the moment. I didn't know that, you know. But unbeknownst to all of us, is that the kids were having a moment too. And it wasn't until we got home and we're looking through the family pictures. Okay, which of these thousands of pictures are gonna make it? And we're looking through, and we come across this one. There's us and having our moment. Maybe zoom in on the kids here. This is not staged. This was just a moment. And Zach's looking like, come on, guys, not again. And Matthew's kind of grossed out. And Elijah's making a face. This is hard to tell, but a parent can tell. He's making a face that someone killed my puppy. And Elijah and Josiah is just trying his best to hold it together. You can just tell. He's trying to hold it together. But you know what? I think our kids got our priority right there. They got the priority. They figured it out. We were practicing the priority right there. And even though it came out in the kids, this was totally, you know, not set up at all. This was just happened. That's where we are. We practice our priority. So, how do we do this? Well, one of the questions to ask yourself is, what will be? What will be the most important factors of your marriage? Think into the future. What will be those most impactful practices that you do that practice the priority? What will that be in the future? What will be those things that draw you together, the two shall become one? What are those things? Make a list. Maybe it's for you, it's time with no kids. Maybe that's the thing. Or maybe that's one of the big things. Maybe it's on the list. Maybe it's spiritual time with other adults. You know, you hang around kids all day long. Sometimes you just need adult conversation, right? No, home group. That might be just the thing. Spiritual time with other adults. Maybe it's prayer time together. Maybe it's team projects. You know, if you work together, it does. It bonds. And maybe that's the thing for you. Maybe it's games. Just, you know, Friday night game night. It's just the thing that brings you together. What will those things be in the future? And so let's practice the priority today. Make a list for yourself. What can you do? What will those things be? Now, probably the most important part of all this, as we look at the priority, next to Christ, you are my priority. And we need to practice the priority, but we also need to protect the priority. John 10:10 is a famous verse. We talk about it. We've talked about it before. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. By the way, a lot of people blame God for things. And this verse kind of makes it clear. Jesus brings life to the full. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But what is the very good thing again? If we look through creation, we have earth, and we have star, and sun, and moon, and plants, and animals, and oceans, and sky, and people. But the thing that got the very good was marriage. Marriage. You think our spiritual thief is going to leave that alone? He's going to want to steal your priority. He's going to want to destroy it. He's going to want to kill it. So how do we protect our priority? Yeah, there are in real life times when we need to shift priorities. There's that time when we need to care for an aging parent. I'm sorry, honey, I have to take care of my mom. I need to get to work. It's going to be a little bit. Or, hey, I got a new job, and we have this 8-week intensive training. Yeah, we're going to have to shift priorities for a little bit. But that not for long seasons. We need to protect our priority. Well, how can we practically do that? Well, life integration time. How will I protect my priority? How will I protect my priority? Time alone together. Time alone together is protecting your priority. You need that time. Date night is a lot of times what we call it. Date night. We need date night. Now, if you're worried, you know, I don't have money for dates. I'm the king of the cheap date. So, yay. You know, walks are great. There are some great parks. There's some great water around it in this area. You can have some great romantic walks, time together just talking. You know, now, this isn't for everybody, granted, but libraries, awesome. Yes. If you love books together, this is really cool. My favorite is dessert dates. And you know that fancy schmancy restaurant that you love? The ambiance is just awesome and so forth, but the meal costs one leg and one arm. Forget that part. Just have your meal at home with your kids because you're going to have to feed them anyway, right? And then go have a dessert date. Just have dessert. Dessert is really expensive too, but it's a whole lot cheaper of a date than anything else. You have all the ambiance. You have all the romantic. And there are a million different things you can do to protect your time alone together. Next, limit kids' activities. Oh, am I in the thick of it right now. We're driving kids all day, every day, it seems like. And you gotta limit their activities. By the way, you're not only doing your marriage a favor, you're doing your kids a favor. There's been a whole bunch of studies, and if you've been in the work world, you know that there are a lot of young adults right now that have no idea how to solve a problem. You hand them a problem, and they're like, uh-huh, give us a group activity. We know how to do those, right? And that's because we've filled kids' lives with groups activities for so long that that's all they know how to do is group activities. They don't know how to solve alone. So you do yourself a favor, you do your marriage a favor, you do them a favor by limiting some of their activities. 3, limit your hobbies. Recreation needs to recreate, not dominate. Recreate, not dominate. And a lot of times that's really easy to do, is that our entertainment can take over. Let it recreate you, not dominate you. And then 4th, kind of our challenge for this week is to do your priority together. Remember, we started out with next to Christ, my priority is you. Well, Christ then together is our priority. So pray together. So that's kind of our challenge this week, is to pray together every day. Spend some time praying together. Doesn't need to be beautiful, doesn't need to be, you know, flowery words, just time together in prayer. I found this stat and I had to go check it out, and wow. You know, first off, the divorce rate between Christians and non-Christians is the same. It's exactly the same. But if you take this Christian person and you say, okay, let's step up to be a regular church-attending Christian, you know what happens? The divorce rate drops by 1/3 for the Christian group. Now, if you add in there that they pray regularly together, the divorce rate falls to less than 1% of those guys. And I was like, oh, really? Come on. So I went and did some research, tried to figure this out, and 1% is actually high. The study that was done found that there was one divorce in 1,153 marriages. That's less than 0.1%. And so when we practice our priority together, we protect our marriage priority. Isn't that awesome? So when and if we were to have financial problems, we would fight like crazy to solve it. If we were to have health problems, we would travel wherever we needed to travel to find the best doctor in the world to get us well. Marriage problems, if the one have become two, seek God like you've never sought him before. Fight. Spend time and money. Make radical changes. Why? Because next to Christ, you, husband and wife, are my priority. And together, Christ is your priority. Each, your highest priority, together. Putting Christ first, practically and together, makes your Christian walk better, and it makes your marriage better. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together and look into your word and look at this profound mystery that is marriage. Lord, we come to you today and we pray over our relationships. Lord, we each have brilliant romantic plans that have not worked out the way we had hoped. We each want to make good, better, and better, great, and great, magnificent. So, Lord, as we come to you today, and we thank you for this gift of marriage, we pray, Lord, that you would work in us, in our church, in our homes, in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.